you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy. We're waiting on Will T. Will T is a little late. What's going on, Ray?
What's happening, brother? Got here just in time watching these Terps play, getting off to another slow start at Rutgers tonight. I'm like, dang, man.
Rutgers is good now.
This is the MO. Rutgers is good.
They're good now, right? They're good now.
They have an 18-11 record.
What channel is the game on, actually?
That's the Big Ten Network.
Oh, I got it. That's a lot of work.
Do you have that?
I have it. I just got it. Oh, okay. It's a lot of work to find it. I know.
Because, yeah, I don't know about your cable sometimes.
Go ahead.
Michigan State is down, by the way, Wally, which is why it's a big game. Because
you know what I'm saying.
If the Terps win tonight, you know, they automatically clinch Big Ten title.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's big stuff. Jalen Smith is the man. They're double-teaming him right now.
Yeah, is like the man. It was a good business decision to come back to Maryland.
Oh, he needs to come back one more year to be a top five pick
next
year.
You think he a top five pick? In a weak draft, you don't think he'd be a top five pick now?
I don't think so. Because it's a guard-heavy draft. Mm-hmm. But I know that many, including yourself, you just said, don't feel like this is not the strongest draft. However, there's certain players that I like in this draft.
Cool. You like a player in every draft.
What's wrong with that?
I didn't say there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, and compared to other drafts, you know,
you listen to me when it comes to college basketball.
I do. I listen to you.
So I know my man in Georgia. He's getting a lot of hype, and he'll be a great wing, but he's going to be probably gone before the Wizards pick.
Yeah.
But Tyrese Halliburton is who the Wizards will go with. I told you that a while ago.
You think he'll be gone? You think Cuz will be gone? No, I know about dude. You think he'll be gone before the Wizards are bad? You think
the Wizards aren't that bad?
They're like the ninth spot, right?
Yeah, they're ninth and. They're still actually competing, and they're not going to stop. Mm. So they're not going to be a top five team unless the lottery just falls their way, which, again, it's not out the realm of possibility, but they're playing hard.
Yeah. What's up, Will T?
What's going on, man?
What's going on, Will?
Long time no see, man.
We got a full roster, man.
Hey, on time, brother.
You know what I'm saying? I come through when I want to. I respect that, man.
Oh, hey, Will T, crazy. You can Google me, man. I might not be here all the time, but I'm out there. Trust me.
I mean, you out there promoting, doing other things. You know, it's all good.
He said you can Google me, though. The man said you can Google me.
I know, he trying to flame me right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to try to kick me out of the group, bro. I'm doing my thing. I may not come to every performance, but you are Chuck D. You know you like Chuck D. Remember Buffalo Wild Wings, the whole Millicent thing? Anyway, that's a whole other subject.
Oh, it's a whole different subject.
Where your head at, brother? You got to be flame, not me. I'm too light.
Hey, go ahead.
Sorry.
Dark skin is in, man.
You know what it is, man. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just as the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll discuss if the Washington Redskins should really think hard about drafting Tua Tagovailoa. How do you say his name?
Tua Tagovailoa?
Tua Tagovailoa. Yes.
Tua. Just say Tua.
At 8:20, Stephen Newman from the Capital Newsman will join the show to talk about the Washington Nationals' fifth starter battle. At 8:30, we'll discuss Tony Romo's new deal with CBS. At 8:40, we'll talk about the Harden-Giannis beef.
It's not beef, man.
That's no beef, man. It's beef.
The four-letter word is...
You don't think
they're just trying to conjure it's beef, bro.
the trilogy of Wilder and Fury is scheduled for July 18th. So at 8:50, we'll talk about the logic of the fight. Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee will join the show to discuss this.
Wilder, this name thing is getting on my nerves. Mr. Kenzo, that's what I'm going to call you. This whole bringing on Armand at 8:50 doesn't work.
Why?
Because the show never ends on time.
It'll be close enough.
The show never ends on time.
It will be close enough.
you know how it goes, but
we'll try. We'll do it. We'll try our best. How about them apples? We'll try our best. All right. There are rumors that the Redskins are seriously entertaining drafting Alabama quarterback Tua. I ain't saying his last name with the second pick overall. Thoughts on picking him over Ohio State pass rusher Chase Young?
I'll let you go first, Ray.
Well, it brings about two interesting dynamics. Number one is, according to reports, Ron Rivera said that you hiring me to Mr. Snyder, I'm going to help to develop Dwayne Haskins. This was part of what got him the job. And now it seems as though he's reneging. I'm glad he's been clear from the very beginning that, hey, it's going to be a competition. This is not Dwayne's job. It's something he will have to earn. But the other aspect is just, where does this leave Haskins? And Tua, he's obviously an amazing talent. Wally and I have had this discussion off air. I believe you go with Tua. I'm absolutely okay with that. Strong arm, mobile. He has pocket presence. He has everything that you need. The experience under Nick Saban. He's a winner. I believe he's gone against tougher defenses in the SEC than Dwayne Haskins seen in the Big Ten. So I'm cool with the Redskins actually going with Tua at number two.
I think it would be totally asinine for them to pick Tua with the number two pick. And here's why. Ron Rivera has stated that, you know, he wants to bring in competition for Dwayne Haskins. So if you want to bring in competition for Dwayne Haskins, from an economic standpoint and a roster makeup standpoint, why would you draft a guy 15 the year before and then spend a top two pick on another quarterback in the sake of competition for a quarterback spot? That makes absolutely no sense. And you would also have to, under that premise, you would also have to be able to get a return for whichever quarterback that you deem is not the future of your franchise going forward.
I think Haskins gets traded. If you draft two, I think Haskins is gone.
But do you think you can recoup 50% of the value that
get the same value, though. You won't get the value with that pick.
Will it matter at that point?
I don't think – be honest with you.
You bring a fair point. Does it matter at that point? But I'm pretty sure if you are Daniel Snyder and the conversation you had with Ron Rivera prior to him coming to D.C., it probably went something like this. How do you feel about Dwayne Haskins? I like him. Yeah. Or I think I can help develop him and make him the franchise, the quarterback of the future. So without even seeing how Dwayne Haskins will respond under your program on the field, you go and you spend the second overall pick on Tua. Now, I will say this. Tua does look like he could be a potential franchise quarterback for a long time if he stays healthy.
Yeah,
right? He has all the attributes that you look for. But for you to spend the number 15 pick overall last year, then bring into a this year and say, is it in the spirit of competition and hope to get a return for whichever guy you don't like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
We ironically had this discussion months ago, and at the time, Wole said that the Cardinals were the most recent team that did it, right?
Yeah.
They drafted a quarterback back-to-back years. Obviously, they're happy with Kyler Murray right now, correct?
That's true.
And Kyler Murray excelled under a brand new coach. Now, similar scenario here. Again, if Tua's healthy, I think you take him. Because if there are questions now surrounding Haskins, then I don't think those whispers or the discussions surrounding him are going to die down anytime soon. And that's going to create a difficult environment, which you're trying to create a brand new culture.
Well, and that's fair for you to point out what the Cardinals did. But I think there's a caveat to that situation. When you look at it, Josh Rosen versus Kyler Murray.
Cliff Kingsbury,
he was bringing in a certain type of system,
and he knew
Kyler Murray could execute that system, and he knew for him to be successful long term, he needed a quarterback who played a certain way, to execute his set to fully be successful in the system. Now, you know, I think we have a pretty good idea of what Scott Turner and what Ron Rivera want to do from an offensive perspective.
Run the ball.
And I think that Dwayne Haskins is able to execute that, is able to execute with his skill set, opposed to you bringing in another quarterback like Tua. And I'm not going to say wasting your number two pick, but with a roster that's that lacks talent in certain areas, when you have the ability to get a guy like a Chase Young.
It's nothing against Dwayne. I just think that, you know, I think we both said it. We all are kind of saying the same thing in this aspect, that we believe that if healthy, Tua is a franchise caliber quarterback. And it's not in this. We've come in a society where just because you may want somebody else doesn't mean the other person's garbage. Tua, to me, is a better prospect than Dwayne Haskins. That's just it is what it is. I said it before, and it's not a knock on Dwayne. Like, I think Dwayne is going to be a stud quarterback in the NFL. I just think Tua is better. You know what I mean? So it's not like just because people may prefer Tua, it's not a knock on Dwayne. But on the same argument, it's a different situation. And we talk about Arizona. Arizona Klingsberg had a relationship with Kyler Murray. You know, but he wanted to recruit Kyler Murray while, you know, when he saw him in high school. So it's a little different situation. But when you look at this situation, Ron Rivera, like Will said, the way they run their offense, Haskins can run it. You know what I mean? And to me, when you hear the talk, it's all about – this is different from any other time this franchise has ever run the draft. They're trying to chalk up talk, too. We all got to put that out there. They're trying to put out talk
make the second to get more pick value.
Have value.
Oh,
so,
definitely.
And so somebody can do what the Skins did with RG3. They can say, all right, if you want this second pick, you got to give up
perfect,
you know, everything under the sun to get it. You know what I mean?
And if you think about it, if that situation does arrive, then – you probably wouldn't have to drop down that far. You probably have to drop down three spots to go from 2 to 5, and you would probably be trying to entice the Miami Dolphins to jump up and get that spot.
I'm glad you mentioned RG3, because if you're Dan Snyder, you have to learn from your past mistakes.
Yeah.
When he hired the previous coach, Gruden, part of their discussion was, can you develop RG3? Of course, Gruden said, yeah. But he learned early on, nah, this is not my guy. And that turned out to be a disaster, a debacle. And I believe that even though he stayed longer than most coaches do with this organization, I believe that damaged their relationship. Okay. Now, to me, that shouldn't even really matter when you're hiring a coach. You should not bring in somebody saying, hey, are you going to develop this guy? Unless, you know, Dan Snyder is just in love with him, which he has been with certain players like RG3 and Clinton Portis, just to name a few. But, again, we're talking about a once – and not necessarily generation, but you don't see talent there like Tua come around. Yeah. I told you, Tua got a little Vic in him. I'm not saying he's Vic, but he has some of that in him. You know, he has a strong arm. Again, he's mobile. He has all the attributes that you want, like we've all been repeating over and over again. Yeah. So I don't think that necessarily that you can pass him on. Now, on the flip side, I guess Chase Young also is a potential one in a generation type of talent. So you gotta keep that in mind. Ron Rivera believes, though, that he can turn around a defense without a guy like Chase Young, because he's done it. In Chicago, the year after he came in, they went from being, I believe, a 26 ranked defense to number 3. Mm-hmm. So why can't he do the same in Washington without Chase Young? And he's had star players before. He had Julius Peppers in Carolina.
But look what he was able to do with a guy who was an immense talent like Julius Young. I mean, Julius Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you think that from a schematic standpoint, your defense is amazing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just think what you could do if you have an elite talent. And for everything we've heard about Chase Young and we've seen about him, people are saying he's the next great pass rusher to come in the NFL on a level of Von Miller.
I think we got a call. You're on with the Urban Sports Thing. We're talking about Dwayne Haskins and Tua.
Let me tell you something, man.
What's up, Les?
First of all, man, what's up, man? I just want to say, I want to give a big shout out to the DMV. out there where you're at. Hold on, man. I didn't even do my own show today. And I saw something on Twitter. I just happened to look at my phone laying down.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys are thinking that the quarterback that you have in place is going to do anything other than have you guys in last place in the NFC East for the next 20 years or however long he plays, y'all are crazy. I don't think Tua's the answer either. But you guys do need a new quarterback.
Who do you think's the answer, Coach? Who do you think's the answer in this draft?
You know what's crazy? I don't know because you have a new coach coming in there, and what is it what exactly does he want to run it? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to run, but I just don't think that Tua is the answer. I know a lot of people think Tua is going to be a great quarterback, and I could be wrong, but I doubt it.
You might be right.
I don't think Tua's the answer.
Might be right. Another scary thing about Tua is if you have him and Darius Geis as your starters, you could be looking at potential backups being inserted by week 3 because neither one of these guys can stay healthy. Now, if you want to not – pick Tua, but you want the next best thing, and you can still take Chase Young. Maybe you take Chase Young, and then you pick Jalen Hurts in the second round. He can be a poor man's Cam, maybe.
You think Jalen Hurts is better than Dwayne? You don't think that, for real.
Yo, if you just look at if you don't have faith in Dwayne, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, I'm about to say.
Yeah, and if you want, and if your motive is to bring competition
right.
in for Dwayne,
Jalen Hurts would be
a young quarterback to have two young quarterbacks pushing each other, it makes sense.
You've had Colt McCoy as your backup for the last like 3 years, for goodness sakes. Jalen Hurts would be a huge upgrade, trust me.
So
you guys are saying you would take a running. Who did you say?
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts and Chase Young. You get both of them. A former Alabama quarterback. Plus, you get your best rusher.
I would take
them. See?
Wow.
Yep,
that's why Ray needs to be here, Will. See what I do?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach, I can't even talk to you anymore right now. We're going to talk later. You just said you agree with that. I can't even agree with that.
I'm really cool. You know why? Because now you get somebody that's going to help you defensively and offensively. Dude, when you look at the Washington Redskins, have got a lot of holes that need to be filled. One, to me, the main hole is the quarterback. That's number one. You guys have got to address the quarterback issue in this draft. And if it, you know, all of the rumors that are coming out right now saying that you guys are thinking about trading up to get him at quarterback, Tua, I think that's not the right guy. I think Tua is so hyped. Because he played at Alabama and he came in front of Jalen Hurts and he made the great pass for them to win a national championship, and he hasn't really did anything after that, other than coming in off. Well, he won games, but anybody could have been the quarterback to one game.
I don't know, brother. That's another discussion.
Dude, and I can't throw 5 yards.
I don't know.
You got great rush game. Mm-hmm. Okay, great running game, great defense, and you're not playing the elite. Alabama has not in 6 years played the elite of they play within their half, their portion of the SEC. They haven't played like LSU this past year. LSU played a lot of beats all the way through. Mm. And that's the first team I've in the SEC that actually played the Monsters all the way to their championship. That's the only team I've ever saw do it. So Tua, I don't think, is going to be that great. I will say that Hurts will be, for the simple fact he went to Oklahoma and he had to win with less talent. He had less talent there than he's had since he's been at Alabama. Well, he had some talent, but not Alabama talent.
Well, Coach, we're about to go to a
break. That's your guy.
Hey, Coach, we're about to go to break. But I appreciate you for calling in, my man. When you have your show, let me know.
Hey, hit me up, man. We need less biased people on the show.
I'm already talking. I was going to talk tonight, but I was sick. But I'm going to get you on immediately because we got to talk about how Dallas Cowboys are going to win.
I knew it. All right, Coach.
All right,
appreciate you, man.
gotta love that brother, man. Like I said, it is. I mean, I know he's being funny, but
all the way out from
in Texas.
From
oh yeah,
he from Denver.
Colorado. But here's the thing, though. We need just more opinions like that, non-objective. You know what I'm saying?
There's no way Jalen Hurts is better than
objective. I'm sorry,
he's not better than. Than
Dwayne?
Dwayne? No, he's not.
Well,
you think it's definitive?
But
the thing is,
it's not worth arguing for my end.
Yeah, it's not. But if you say you want to bring competition,
I get that though. I agree with that though.
That's how you bring the most value to.
And they're getting ready to sign Austin Hooper. Nice security blanket.
I'm not even a fan of him, Ryan.
I'll take Jordan Reed all day.
Please,
you can have Hooper.
You
had that man with a headache with the worst training staff in the league.
Exactly.
As Trent. I'll take Trent too. Send both of them down. What is it? I-85?
Whatever. Team
I-85, baby. Let's go.
Who will be the Nats' fifth starter? Stephen Newman from the Capital Newsman will join the show after the break to listen to Urban Sports Lane.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T.
And Ray.
And myself, Ole. That rhymes. I like that. That works, dog.
Ray is back. So are the callers.
So are the callers.
So is the energy. So are the ratings. I'm telling
wait,
you.
Wait, time out.
Watch how many clicks we gonna get.
Are you saying just because of you, we got callers? Is that what you're trying to say?
Did y'all get callers the last few weeks?
Man, good point, man. Right now, we have Stephen Newman from the Capital Newsman on the line. What's up, Stephen?
What? How you doing?
Everything's good. Stephen caught you off guard. Did I catch you off guard with that one? Stephen, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. All right. Think the connection.
Okay. Are you okay now? You got it now? We're okay now?
Yeah, I got it now.
All right, cool. Yep. All right, Stephen, before we talk about the Nets, let our listeners know about the Capital Newsman.
Sure. So it's a D.C. sports blog I started where we cover my most focus is on the Nationals, but we cover the Nationals, Wizards, Redskins, and a little bit with the Capitals as well. It's been running for, I don't know, probably, I have been doing it for about 6 months or so.
Okay.
But it's just something I do to, so I can write about DC sports, the DC sports I love, including like the Nationals, like I said, mm-hmm. Wizards, Redskins.
Mm-hmm. And what's the website? And what's the actual website?
Yeah, it's capitalnewsman.com.
All right, cool. Great. All right, so yesterday against the Miami Marlins in spring training, Washington Nationals pitcher Joe Ross, pitched three scoreless innings. You have been reporting about the fifth spot for the Nats in the competition between Eric Fetty, Austin Vogt, and Joe Ross. How has Ross looked so far in spring training?
I think Ross has looked great. Ross has been, I mean, I thought he'd look good. He's looked even better than I expected. And I think that he's definitely, like, I always thought, even coming into spring training, that he probably had slightly the upper hand. I thought he was him slightly over Vogt, and then Fetty was kind of the third man there. But I think Joe Ross has definitely separated himself from the pack.
Will, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Stephen, I have a question. This is Will. I have a question for you. If Joe Ross wins the fifth starter position, what happened? What would be the plan for Eric Fetty and Austin Roth? Will one of those guys be shipped away in the hopes of bringing back talent to the organization via trade? Or do they still have options to be sent down to AAA?
So it's an interesting thing. I think that there's a chance that you could see, I'd say probably of the two, both could get traded. I think the way it probably would play out, though, is as long as he looks fine, and because I think too with him, something I've picked up on is that even last year when he was pitching really well, he was still featuring, like, he was like 60% fastball. He didn't have a lot of off speed he went to that was effective. So if he's going to be like, if he's going to be like a two-pitch pitcher, that actually could play really well in the bullpen. So I think that's you could obviously get multiple innings out of him as well. So he definitely has value there, and you'd be able to, if you needed someone to fill in to start games, he'd be a guy you could use. Fetty, to me, he does have the option to go down to the minor leagues. I think the most likely thing is you start Joe Ross, you'd put Vogt in the bullpen, and you'd send Eric Fetty down to the minor league. I think there's a chance with him as well that you could see him go to the bullpen. I don't think that's impossible, but like I said, I think the most likely scenario would be that you try to keep all three, because honestly, they're really high on all three of them. They're all top handful of prospects in the organization, all the way coming up the system. So in a perfect world, I think they'd want to keep all three, because you'll also to lose next year. Anibal Sanchez will be a free agent, so you'd want at least one guy that could take over like the fifth starter down the road next year as well. So
okay, so is that
they want that security. I think.
Who's the fourth star? Is it not Tanner?
No, it's Anibal Sanchez.
It's Sanchez. That's what we talk. Okay, I was just trying to clear that up. Okay, so Joe Ross is fifth. Well, that's my question. Yeah, that's fine. I have no issues there.
Will, you had a question?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought you did. I'm sorry. No, Steven, did you think, do you think that if Fetty doesn't make, get a spot, because I don't think he's get out of the bullpen anyway, from what I've watched, yeah. Compared to, I think, like you said, Vault is more of a better option out of the bullpen. But I think Fetty, do you think Fetty, because he's had some success as a starter, once the team kind of had that belief in him, could he have high trade value? Because we saw him have some shutout games in the regular season last year.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. I think with him, I think he needs to be more consistent, frankly. He's definitely shown it at times, and it's partly, I don't know if it's even entirely his fault, because even when you saw him last year, there'd be games where he'd throw like 5 shutout innings or so. He'd throw like 70 pitches. Then Dave Martinez would be like, "Nope, you're done."
Yeah.
So it's at some point, like, I don't know how you even, like, he hasn't shown that he's completely developed, but I also don't know that it's necessarily his fault because he hasn't been given the opportunity. So but I think if that's the route you want to go to trading him, because I do agree, I don't think he looks as good out of the bullpen as both does. But profiles to be anyway. Mm. But I don't think he has a ton of trade value until he can show that he's consistent, basically.
Mm. Well, we're about to go to break. Hey, Steven, thanks. Before we let you go, let our listeners know how they can reach you on social media.
For sure. You can follow me. I'm at Steven_Newman1. Or you can also check out the blog site, which is at Capital Newsman.
Hey, Steve, you know, I appreciate you. We're going to be tweeting a lot, man. You know, I like to hear about Fetty. That's my guy. You know, Fetty's my guy.
Yep.
All right, Steve.
I know all about that.
All right, Steve. Thanks again, my man.
Appreciate you, Steve.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
All right. So Tanner is with the Blue Jays now. Tanner Roark. Didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He's been gone.
I'm just saying, I didn't know he was with the Blue Jays.
Who he's with last year?
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Who was Cincinnati with last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Romo got the bag. We'll discuss this after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
The Reds. Oh.
Nigerian hair, my criteria compared to your career just isn't fair. I'm a venereal disease, like a menstrual bleed through the pencil and leak on the sheet of the tablet in my mind. Cause I don't write, cause I ain't got time. Cause my seconds, minutes, hours go to the almighty dollar in the almighty power of that chopper. Sister, brother, son, daughter, father, motherfucker, copper. Got the Maserati dancing on the bridge. Pop it, tell the coppers, ha 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 ha. You can't catch them, you can't stop them. I go by them goon rules. If you can't beat them, then you pop them. You can't man them, then you mop them. You can't stand them, then you drop them. You pop them, cause we pop them like Oval Redenbacher.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, Ray Jeezy. Reportedly, Tony Romo got $180 million for over 10 years to stay with stay with CBS and Jim Nantz doing NFL game starts.
Congratulations to him if that is the amount of money they receive. Mm-hmm. Two, I want to know how vested CBS is in NFL football. Mm-hmm. From the standpoint of when we look at all the other carriers of pro football games, you know, NFL, ABC, ESPN, NFL Network, they seem as if they've invested a lot in their pregame show, right? Mm-hmm. CBS's pregame show is, let's be honest, is terrible.
CBS? I do like, what's his face? The young boy.
James Brown?
No.
Nate Burleson?
Nate Burleson, good. He's good.
Yeah, so for you to pay that amount for Tony Romo do you really see yourself continuing to have the rights to broadcast football games with? We know that things are changing now. A lot of people are streaming things, right? So they're going to the internet to access, to watch all types of media, sports included. So I'm just interested to know if, you know, if CBS has an out if they lose the ability to continue to have the rights to football games. But congratulations to Tony Romo, though.
It's a lot of money. Is it worth when I watch sporting events in general, there's only a handful of commentators that I know that I'm turning on the tube to watch.
He's one of them.
Marv Albert was one when I was growing up. Madden, obviously, and Summerall were a team that you wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. I will even say Joe Buck Aikman are maybe in that same category. Maybe Al Michaels. I don't know. But
Monday Night Team was that when we were younger. That Monday Night Team. Al Michaels, Frank Gifford, and the other dude. I can't remember his name. Obviously, wasn't that important.
No Tony Kornheiser.
But Tony Romo, just because of what he brings to the table as a former player, I'm thinking that, I mean, it's the right decision. That's still too much money, though, when you, of course, think from this standpoint that he's getting paid more
than players.
Then he got paid during his own playing career. So, you know, it's ridiculous. However, it's an investment that CBS felt like they had to make. If you look at what's just happening in general in sports media, you see these contracts growing. Skip Bayless comes to mind. Stephen A., you just saw his deal. Now he has his own Sports Center segment in the evenings, similar to Scott Van Pelt, what he has at night. So
urban sports scene, our deal.
This is the way it's heading.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get there, but I'm just saying that this is where it's heading. We always talk about in sports is the market. So yeah, they pay what they feel like they had to pay to keep him, because if they don't throw him the bag, then Fox or NBC, somebody, ESPN, somebody will get him.
Monday night, yeah, ESPN, Monday night.
Because obviously they were concerned if you brought in Peyton Manning midway through negotiations. Like, wait a minute, we need a good backup plan now. Romo, just his charisma is way better than Peyton Manning. I hate to say it, but Peyton Manning is a good football mind.
Let me ask you this. How much of Tony Romo, the excitement that you get from listening and watching Tony Romo, is based off of his knowledge of the game that he just left 1 or 2 years ago?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of everything.
Okay, so let me ask you this. As time progresses and as he's further away from the game, do you think that he still will be as effective calling games? Because he won't be as close to the game as he once was.
I think he will, because I just think he does his homework. He sounds like a dude who's really done his homework. When Aikman left the game,
Gruden did his homework too. But you remember the first couple of years, people were really excited.
But Gruden was good though. No one's like Gruden was really good. Like, no one's never not Gruden. He just decided he wanted to coach again. Gruden was really good. I had high praise for Gruden too. You have people like Aikman who left the game, a quarterback. But it's not like Tony Romo. Tony Romo tells you to play before it happens. Like,
and that's because he's not that far removed from the game. But if we think about 5 years out, and as the game changes and it progresses, I'm not going to say he won't have as much love for the game as he does now. But as the concepts change,
it'll be different, obviously.
You think just because he's been removed from the field recently that has that big of a role in how he calls the games?
I do.
Because Jason Witten wasn't that good. Garbage. Booger hasn't been that effective. Like these guys just coming off the field.
But what you're – okay, maybe I wasn't as clear in my point. Maybe he still has some hunger and desire for the game, right?
Okay, I got your point.
Now, as he distances, as the concepts change, and as he's far removed from football, what part of the things that makes him great as a commentator is his passion and his knowledge. As the concepts change, and maybe as that love for the game has shifted in a different way.
Yeah.
Do you still think he's as exciting and great as a commentator?
It's about his competitive nature. You know what I mean? Like, he may want to be better than the next person. He may want to keep his spot to a point where, you know what, I'm going to keep working my ass off and nobody's going to take my spot. So therefore, I'm going to keep doing the same amount of homework. You can obviously tell the dude does his homework compared to like these other dudes. Like these other dudes don't do their work. Like, you could tell this dude does his homework.
As long as CBS is getting the viewers, I think it really doesn't matter. when you watch Terry Bradshaw, obviously his football resume speaks for itself, but he's more of an entertainer on Fox. Same thing that Strahan has become. He's a more of a TV mogul now. He's all over the place. Howie Long is still pretty good with his analysis, but people tune in to watch these guys. So if you're tuning in to watch Tony Romo, then that's a win for CBS, regardless of whether he's as connected. Now, if you watch how Collinsworth prepares, there was like a special. There was like a special on him. He is all week. He's analyzing these two teams. He's doing homework on the entire season. And what happened in a recent game?
Focus.
Absolutely. So
does he? He owns it.
So yeah. I absolutely feel as though he can continue to you know, produce, so to speak, at a high level.
Ownership stake in it, brother.
Oh, he getting
but I don't blame who? What former player just tweeted saying Tony Romo getting played?
Oh, Michael Thomas.
Not former, that's our player. Man. Yeah, I mean Marquise Pouncey. All of them have pointed out how it just doesn't make sense that a commentator is getting paid more than players on the field, and I absolutely agree with that part. So that's a whole nother subject, though. If we're speaking specifically on Tony Romo. I think you got to do what you got to do.
You good? It's on the outline.
What's Michael Thomas?
Yeah, that's
that's cool.
Nah,
I'm still looking at Stephen Newman on my page over here. I haven't even turned the page yet, dude. So it don't even matter.
No, but like to me, I look at Michael Thomas's point. It's like, hey, we got to really look at the new CBA proposal. You know, if a commentator is getting paid more than players, you know what I'm saying? Like, I see his point. Like, I agree with it. It's not a knock on Tony Romo because, like Ray said, and we've stated this before in the past, the market dictates your paycheck or your salary or whatnot in sports and even in sports broadcasting. But at the same time, like, when you're an NFL player, you got to look at it and be like, you know what? Hey, if this is getting this and they're just, you know, they're just analyzing what we do and we're doing all the hard work, all the grunt work, then, hey, we need to get that bag.
Yo, Stephen A. Smith makes more annually than half of the Wizards team. You know what I mean? It's the nature of the beast. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I see your point, and maybe if you do opt for a lockout, maybe you can increase player salaries. Mm-hmm. However, I think it's a slippery slope because we know that lockouts, especially with football, if they drag out, then the interest kind of wanes a bit. So right now, with the Super Bowl you just had, with Mahomes being the face of the league, I think you're in a good place. I believe you just continue at the pace you're at and just take the deal that's on the table. It's another subject, though. I know we're talking about Tony Romo.
Nah, I mean, I'm not going to broach that subject about
the CBA. Not going to broach it. That's what I'm talking about. Broach it, baby.
So James Harden and the Greek Freak are beef.
I like that.
We'll discuss this after the break. Listen to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages. You did. Deuces.
The commission of Macaulay, P. Diddy, Caesar Leo, De Janeiro, Iceberg Slim, the most shady, Frankie Baby. We here.
Do you know what beef is? Do you know
we ain't going nowhere.
Ask yourself. Do you know
Check out this bizarre rapper style used by me. The V.I.G. I put my key, you put your key in. Money will be seeing. We'll reach the flip of ceiling. Check it. My calico been cop. This rap Alfred Hitchcock drop top notch. Player hating gon' stop. This instant, rappers too persistent. Quick to spit, Biggie name on. Make my name taste like ass when you speak it. See me in the streets, your jewelry, you can keep it. That be our little secret, see me. Be that is, I that is, gee whiz. Sick of cause I'm feeling my big. I hope they know my new gutterful. Kidnap kids, I'm in they throw them over the bridge. That's how it is, my shit is laid out. That be that shit is played out. Y'all got the goal. All I make is one phone call. All y'all disappear by tomorrow. All your guns is borrowed. I don't feel sorrow. Actually, your man passed the gap to me. Now check this, what's beef? Beef is when you need two cats to go to sleep. Beef is when your moms ain't safe up in the streets. Beef is when I see you. Guaranteed to be in ICU. One more time, what's beef? Beef is when you make your enemies start your G. Beef is when you roll no less than 30 deep.
This one,
I see you.
I want to take someone who can pass. I'm taking Kemba Walker instead of James Harden.
I have more assists than him, I think.
You ranked 10th in assists going into the All-Star break, and Kemba ranked 36th in assists going into the All-Star break.
No, I don't see what the joke is. But I didn't even see it. You know, I don't pay attention to stuff like that. I just know none of them can mess with me.
Well, Daryl Morey, your general manager, had a great line to kind of address all of that. He said, being different doesn't really get appreciated until it works.
Yeah, or when I'm done. When it's all said and done, they'll appreciate it more. You know, but I wish I could just run with 7 feet and run and just dunk. Like, that takes no skill at all. I got to actually learn how to play basketball, how to have skill, you know. I take that any day.
Do you think that in the end, a title is going to give you the respect that you think you deserve?
I mean, maybe.
I'm working now.
Oh, sorry. Now you do this.
I know I did on purpose.
Come on, brother.
I had to. That's James Harden being interviewed by Rachel Nichols from ESPN. Rachel Nichols. Nichols getting thick, too. Have y'all seen her recently?
Like, in a good way?
In a good way, dog.
She Me too, move. All that good stuff, I refuse.
James Harden was talking about.
Yeah, I got a whole nother thought about that.
James Harden was talking about Giannis. So is Giannis in a Harden beefing? Are they beefing?
No, absolutely not. I think what it is just two players have vastly different opinions of their capabilities and what the opposite guy does. I think what happens is when you have the media conglomerate that ESPN is running that clip over and over and over and over and over and over again, only thing it does is just hypes up their second matchup this year when they play each other, I think in April.
Yes.
It'll be a highly televised game.
I don't know when that game is.
James Harden comes across as a bit sensitive to me in this.
He is sensitive.
And then on
top. They did fry him on All-Star. The selection show of All-Star?
It was a joke, though.
Still, man, you can't be telling Bama that he just dribbles all day and that's it. Like, he don't pass the ball.
He didn't say that.
He said he doesn't pass the ball.
He didn't say he dribbles all day.
He said, I want to make sure I get the ball.
He said, I want to make sure I get the ball.
And Harden does take a lot of shots. I don't care how many assists he gets. He shoots the ball a lot. He's a high-volume scorer.
Well,
I mean,
he said he dribbles a lot. Excuse me. I'm not myself.
I know. You got to be correct, don't you, sir?
Exactly.
It's okay, though. But the way Harden responds, he's making Giannis out to be Jahadi White, like just a 7-foot dunker. I don't just say he just dunks. Come on. Giannis has improved vastly over the course of his career. He's worked on his body. This is what you want to see out of your guys. If you could see guys like we had Blatch here in D.C. You know Blatch had a lot of potential. But if he would have worked on his body the way Giannis has.
Yeah,
Come on, man.
Yeah, he had a petite
episode. JaVale McGee, same thing. Just natural athleticism. Yeah. Long.
Yeah.
But they don't take it as serious. Giannis goes out to play hard every single night. And, I mean, in respect to Harden, so does Harden.
Yeah.
So Harden plays he plays all 82 games, I mean.
He does. He plays all 82 games.
Plays hard, too.
Not in the best physical condition. But he
plays hard, though. You're right.
He's not in the best physical condition he could be. That's not me taking a stab at him.
He can learn that from Giannis. Yeah.
That's true.
Where opposed to Giannis is a guy who we've seen improve rapidly over the years.
Yeah.
But, if we're just talking about skill.
Yeah, it's James Harden.
It's James Harden.
Yeah, it's all easy, the way. And I get what James Harden is saying, that after, Giannis has strides. He takes long strides. He can finish easy, strong. He can, without adding to the skill set that he has improved on, he's still 25 off that alone.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, James Harden, what he's saying is that, being a dude at 6'5", his game is generated on skill. Like, he can't use just athleticism to score 25. Everything with him is dictated off his, his ball handling, his jumper, him being able to shoot the three ball, him being able to get fouled. Like, that's all skill. You know what I mean? Like, what he's saying is that, with me, the way people underrate me is that they don't understand how skilled I have to be to do what he does. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, if you ask me who's more valuable to the team, I'm going with Giannis.
No, I think Harden is more valuable to his team.
Just the way that team is constructed.
Yeah, it's Harden.
The way it's constructed now, I would think.
It's a tough one. It's tough. It's a really tough one because I can't argue with you. Mm-hmm. I can just respect your.
I'm not gonna argue with you.
I'm not. I'm just. No. I'm just saying it's something that you can't argue.
Yeah. Because
if you take Harden off the Rockets,
they're both valuable.
If you take Giannis off the Bucks, I mean, people lose.
Yeah. They're both valuable to their teams.
Valuable to the team. Valuable to the NBA. But if you made me make a choice of which guy, that You take Giannis away from the Bucks, that's not even a 500 team.
Same thing. The Rockets, though. Same for the Rockets.
You still have Westbrook.
Oh, okay, I got you. No, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point.
You still have Westbrook.
I'm thinking about Houston prior to Westbrook, because for me, like, when you look at... what are you talking about?
Go ahead.
I'm saying, when you looked at the Rockets before Chris Paul, even before Chris Paul, what Harden had to do to get that team, they went to the Western Conference Finals with...
Oh, no, Harden has carried that team. It's a tough argument. Like, but we were talking about this season, though.
No, I get it. I'm just saying that, you know, it's still included to his body of work. You know,
I like the way
you
looked at me, though.
He's always carried his team, you know what I'm saying? Even with less talent. Like, at the end of the day, a lot of people don't respect him. Middleton is an all-star, right?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying.
Don't start this again.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not. He's an all-star, right?
You know what I'm saying?
And we watched him in postseason.
So is the Alchemist fans.
And we watched him in postseason against Boston, right?
Yes.
He was clutch, right? Like, when Giannis wasn't doing well, like, he was dropping buckets against Boston. I'm just saying, like, he's not a bum. Put it out, he's not a bum. And he can hold his own with that unit. Is Eric Bledsoe, Eric Bledsoe got potential?
I like Eric Bledsoe.
I know you do.
Like I said, it's a no one's wrong in this situation because they're both very, very valuable to the teams, both past and present.
I hate you. Both past and
present. I'm just going to say it like that. You know, because you got your feelings a little bit. Like, what?
You see, I did look at you. I mugged you.
You didn't mean mug. It's all good, though. Because he has to be right. Man.
I do have to be right, dog. That's the nature of our friendship, dog.
He called me.
I hate you. Hey, the trilogy of Fury Wilder is set for July 18th. Armand Lee from the Quarterly Report podcast.
On time, too. Let's go.
Is it really set?
They said it's pretty much set.
Bob Arum is saying that when the Raiders Stadium opens, that's when this is going to happen.
All right, man. Well, we're reportedly set. Is that better, Will T?
No, I'm just asking a rhetorical question.
No,
we can discuss further.
Look, we can. My man, look, that's what I'm talking about. Good tease, Will T. You listen to Urban Sports saying. You did.
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with the Triumph has come back. For a solo tour. But tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bank go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm towering, wrecking shop. When I drop these lyrics, that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that are all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy. Ray said this segment's going to go real long, right?
I'm just saying, I feel like out of respect to my man Armand, to bring him on for just the last 10 minutes is just not, it's not right. Because, you know, we have very spirited boxing discussions. And this is anticipated to be
the same. I know. I feel you. Right now, we have the homie Armand Lee from the Quarterly Report podcast on the line. What's up, Armand?
Y'all, man, how y'all living?
Doing good, my man.
Hey, my shirt's too heavy tonight, bro. My legs is hurting. You feel me? Got on my heavy white tee tonight, baby. You know what I'm saying? Weighs like 30 pounds. I ain't got legs.
All right, so
hey, man, you got to make it live. How you got to get how you live, Joe?
Got the 4X joint.
The 4X, not the 4X.
From the wire.
Oh, so, man, they doing
got my Baltimore tee on, baby.
Hey, so Armand, Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury trilogy is supposed to be going down July 18th. Somebody corrected me. Is this trilogy worthy? Trilogy worthy?
No. Whoa. I mean, well, I guess he's in the eye of the beholder, right? But by all reports, this Wilder Fury 2 did over 800,000 pay-per-view buys. So there is money in seeing these two men fight, which is, when you think about it, right, outside of Conor McGregor and then possibly Canelo, in combat sports, doing those type of numbers is unheard of now in this day and age. You know what I mean? Like, Conor, now that Floyd has retired, he is, Conor McGregor is the cash cow in combat sports. And his last few fights have gone just over, well, his last fight, I should say, his last UFC fight versus Cowboy Cerrone went just over a million pay-per-view buys. Conor has over a decade of being in the American public's kind of consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, this was their second pay-per-view fight, and they went upwards of 800,000 pay-per-view buys. That's an astronomical number and a complete success between Top Rank and PBC. So from the business side, I don't think a third fight would do those numbers, but you're still looking at over probably half a million pay-per-view buys at $80. That's a lot of money. So from a business side, yeah, a trilogy makes all the sense in the world. But from a boxing standpoint, and, you know, y'all good brothers, y'all like me, y'all love the sweet science. Like, I don't know about you guys. We can talk about this later if you want. The week leading up to the fight was so annoying because there were so many people who don't know boxing talking about boxing. So frustrating. But nevertheless, from a boxing fan standpoint, there ain't no reason in the world for these dudes to fight again. And, like, we keep it funky. The first time, Fury won. I don't care what anybody says. Fury won the fight the first time. And this is after basically being off for 3 years. And he had a few tune-ups. One tune-up was a guy that no one had ever even heard of, right? So he basically still had rust on him. Went 12 rounds. Deontay Wilder is this great puncher. Fury got up twice. You know what I mean? Like, when Wilder hits you, you usually go to sleep. You know what I mean? Fury got up twice. So he beat him in the technical fight the first time. I know it was a draw. But if you watch the fight, you know, give those two points. 8 rounds, yeah. Those 10-8 rounds. Where else did Wilder get a point? You know what I mean? He had those two 10-8 rounds. Where else did he win a round? I'm still looking. You feel me? So he won the technical fight, rusty. And then we saw what happened just a few weeks ago. He beat Wilder up. Wilder couldn't. And this is the thing that really annoys me about fast-forwarding a trilogy, right? Obviously, the money is there. But the people in Deontay Wilder's camp do not care about him. Mm-hmm. Because they're trying to squeeze every last bit of juice, every last penny out of this fight. Because after what we just saw a few weeks ago, Deontay Wilder is going to get hurt. Particularly considering he's not even going to go back to the lab, work on his stance, on his game. All he had was that right, and Fury just kept rushing his feet. So Wilder had no power behind it. So he Demons was like, yo, his equilibrium, da-da-da-da. Nah, he just didn't know what he was doing. He just looked nasty. And I think now, because there's a rush to get as much money from this trilogy, the people who are supposed to be backing Deontay Wilder and supporting him, they're really going to, we're now entering a possibility where they are going to lead him to be seriously damaged because he can't beat Tyson Fury.
So, first of all, what's going on, Armand? This is Will.
Hey, what's good, though?
Not much. So you brought up an interesting aspect for the conversation from the business perspective, and this is my view on it. I think Deontay Wilder did the right thing by accepting
by exercising
his clause, because what's the fight that most people really want to see in the heavyweight division?
AJ and Tyson.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if I'm Deontay Wilder, I put myself in the middle of that from happening. So now, in order, even if I exercise my right, my right, and we all know that that's the fight everyone wants to see, you still have to pay me to step aside. And then I also line myself up for the guarantee, for a guarantee to fight the winner, of that fight. So I think from a business perspective, Deontay Wilder set himself up, put himself in a good position. Just from a boxing perspective, I don't necessarily think he put himself in the best position if he isn't going to bring someone in to help reevaluate his game plan for a fight if he does fight Tyson Fury for a third time.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I can address that first point, right?
and you my man, but I gotta respectfully disagree. I think, you know, if I'm Deontay Wilder, if I'm in his camp, right, and I look at Wilder, AJ, and Fury kind of as rock, paper, scissors. I never thought that Deontay Wilder could beat Tyson Fury. And after that first fight, I was kind of cemented in that thinking, right? I felt like, okay, there's really no way that Wilder's going to win unless Fury just loses his mind. But I do think that there is a scenario where Wilder could beat AJ. Mm-hmm. And I think AJ actually matches up quite well with Tyson Fury.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my point. If you're Deontay Wilder and you rush, right, don't work on your game, don't retool, because it's clear. He needs a lot of kind of fundamental work on his boxing skills. So if you rush to fight Tyson Fury, you not only are you looking at another loss, I think we all would agree, but you are now looking at a potential where you get beat up again really badly. And big-time punchers, when they hit the canvas, it does something to them. I'm reminded of Paul Williams. You guys remember Sergio, right. One of the greatest knockouts of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was never the same again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Deontay Wilder, I try to play the long game, right? Because whatever happens between AJ and Fury, if AJ beats Tyson Fury, you can make the case that the biggest fight in the heavyweight division is a rejuvenated Deontay Wilder versus a unified champion Anthony Joshua, because Anthony Joshua was looking to kind of rebuild his stance, his stature in America, right? He came over in New York versus Andrew Ruiz, you know what happened. So if I'm Deontay Wilder, I try to play the long game. I'm like, okay, I can beat Anthony Joshua. I need to work on myself. I need to get better. I can't hurry up and run, because this is what we're facing now. If Deontay Wilder goes and fights Tyson Fury in the trilogy in July, and he loses, then what's next for you, right? Because there's no need for you to fight. I mean, Fury's not going to fight you again. There's no point of AJ. If AJ fights you, he's just going to beat you up, right? Because now the blueprint has been set. So then you got guys like Dillian White who've been calling you out for years. He's like, okay, finally, can I? You know what I'm saying? So you, if I'm in his camp, Wilder's camp, I'm trying to take the long view. It's like, yo, we got some work to do. If we don't rush this trilogy, we can always fight Fury again, right? Because as it stands officially, it's a draw and a TKO, right? If you go back and retool, get yourself together in a year's time, maybe you beat some of these other heavyweights in impressive fashion, and then you can rebuild your brand. But if you go rushing into a guy who clearly it seems to have your number, if you lose in July, yo, what's your next move, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're going to be looked upon as a gatekeeper, because then all of these heavyweights are going to be coming knocking on your door like, yo, you still have a name brand. So if I beat you up, that propels me into this next stratosphere. If I'm Deontay Wilder, man, I know it's hard to turn down the immediate money, but I just think in the long view, if you dedicate yourself, and again, rock, paper, scissors, I don't think Deontay Wilder can beat Tyson Fury, but I'm not confident. I don't think that it's impossible for Deontay Wilder to beat Joshua.
Well, right after the fight, I texted you guys, actually. I said, maybe a tune-up fight, maybe Andy Ruiz would be a smart move for Deontay Wilder to see where you are. You know what I mean? He's still obviously a name that's out there because of his victory over AJ. You mentioned Dillian White's kind of annoying. But, you know, again, that's just a fan's perspective. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. As of now, though, Armand, from a fan perspective, that's where I feel like you're coming from. He's going to exercise that right for the third fight. And I don't think there's anything that's going to change his mind. Now, obviously, the Mayweather name was thrown out there today as somebody who could help him work on his craft over the next several months. You also have Bob Arum saying he's going to push the fight back into the fall. That could bode well for Wilder. So there's some scenarios that could make it a more competitive fight next time around. And just to go back to your very original point about the first fight, I told Wilder this before the show. Fury got a long count in that first fight.
You watch.
Go back and watch.
Oh, God. The Fury, I'm telling you, the Wilder excuses are amazing.
I ain't saying it's
not true.
I'm just saying the environment of Wilder, I mean, the excuses are
no, huge. like
I didn't. That's not an excuse. That's just I was just stating an opinion from the first fight. Yeah, yeah. But like Andre Ward said, his psyche is damaged right now, and that's normal for a guy who's accustomed to being on the other side of that. You know what I mean? You suffer your first loss. You see, after Keith Thurman suffered his first loss, he ain't rushing to get back in the ring.
Oh no, he got
you see what happened with Jared Hurd suffered his first loss at home. It hurts. You don't see these guys rushing to get back in because they're like he said, looking to retool. But Deontay Wilder is a different beast. He was knocking everybody out, and we're talking about 40-plus victories.
But, okay, so but who did he beat? Let's have an honest question. Let's have an honest discussion, right? He beat Luis Ortiz. The best win in Deontay Wilder's career by far.
Yeah. Sure.
Those two wins over Luis Ortiz. But let's keep it funky. Luis Ortiz has an amazing amateur background. He's a Cuban fighter, right? But when you look at the physique of Luis Ortiz, he makes Tyson Fury look like Tony Atlas, you understand? God bless the dead. So, like, every Luis Ortiz fight is the same. Luis Ortiz is a phenomenal boxer through five rounds, right? Moves his head, works the body, different levels, feints on his feet, right? Get past five rounds with Luis Ortiz, hands start to drop down. He's not as mobile. He's not moving as much. His head stays still. And then Wilder just caught him. Both times, both fights, Luis was doing damage. In the second fight, they said that he was winning all the rounds by all intents and accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got caught.
Right.
After Luis Ortiz is a good fighter, but, I mean, the dude is not in the best shape. Look at the history of Deontay Wilder's opponents. So he fought Chris Arreola twice with, like, 5 years separating the two. Like, Slim, well, I was watching Chris Arreola in school, Joe, thinking, like, okay, everybody know what time it is. He didn't want to fight Vlad. He didn't want to fight White. He didn't want to fight Parker. They're all you know damn well you don't want Usyk. You don't want no problems with Usyk. Like, all of these fighters, I mean, the heavyweight division is a legit division. You know what I'm saying? And you look at the dudes who were put up against Deontay Wilder, you start looking around like, okay, you had all these amazing knockouts. But, dog, what did it mean? Like, hey, who did you knock out? You feel me? Hey, you forced to beat, dog, I mean, bro, I feel like so much was kind of like the curtain was pulled back on Deontay Wilder, and kind of some of the stuff Adams was talking about, like, yo, he could beat Mike Tyson, and he's like the best heavyweight. Yeah, I'm like, bro,
nobody who knows boxing thinks that. Who most really
saying,
knows boxing?
Most are saying that, though.
Like, we didn't learn anything.
I was saying that, Jane.
Of course, like you said, people who may not know what they're talking about, but. We all said that Fury's the better boxer. We knew that. Deontay Wilder, this has been out there for years. To me, nothing was exposed. I mean, he loses a lot of rounds, but again, he has that right hand. However, I mean, to me, Fury's resume and the greatest. I know Klitschko stands out, and that's always going to give him the nod over Deontay. But to me, both of their resumes could be a little bit stronger. However, I agree in the sense that, really, we would love to see Fury and AJ at Wembley. I think that's the next fight that, you know, we're dying to see. And I think that that's an easy one to make happen because Fury ain't ducking nobody, you know. But unfortunately, with the contractual situation, it is what it is, man. Something we got to accept. So, hey, you got to hope that Deontay Wilder will learn from this experience. I mean, this was a rude awakening for him because, to me, that man has been in denial for years.
Definitely. Hey, Armand, we're about to wrap the show. Before I let you go, man, let our listeners know how they can catch the podcast and what you got on tap with the podcast.
Yeah, man. Each and every Tuesday, man, y'all check me out. I'm at the Quarterly Report podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, man. We talk boxing, obviously, but we also talk NBA. We talk music, culture. We bring sports in a different kind of style, the same way you like here on the Urban Sports Scene. We do a same thing here, kind of on my pod as well. So check me out again, Quarterly Report podcast, each and every Tuesday, wherever you download and subscribe to podcasts. Give me some 5 stars and reviews too, man. Shout me out.
Yes, that's most important, man. We all want the stars, man.
Yeah.
We all want the stars. Hey, I saw on the show you had my man Just Blaze.
Yeah, man. Just cool on this week, the newest episode. Yeah, that's my guy, man. Yeah. Dope stuff. Dope stuff from him.
Definitely. All right, Armand. Thanks again, my man. We appreciate you.
Anytime, bro. Y'all know what time it is.
You know it, man. Armand Lee from the Quarterly Report podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on everything podcasts are being sold or downloaded for free or whatnot. So we'll tell you, you know what we're about to do.
Yep.
All right.
Put a ball on it. Wrap it up.
You know it. You were listening to the Urban Sports Say.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Hey, man, lead us out, big homie.